All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back for another episode, and I'm really excited about this episode, to be honest, because it's long overdue. What we're going to be talking about today is fitness, especially from the perspective of a man, you know, the value of fitness, you know, how it makes you feel, the relationship between fitness and even your own personal relationships, and even further. So very excited because today our guest is a professional bodybuilder, professional trainer, Richard Scotchman, aka Richie. You know, Richie has helped me personally, you know, back in the day when we were maga, you know, should I say meager, you know, far more slender. So Richie, how are you still?
Yeah man, thanks for having me on.
And my brethren, Mr. Michael Natu, the poet and the journalist. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Pretty excited about this one.
Absolutely. Definitely. And also, Mr. Karim Ellis, financial and sales coach, entrepreneur. How are you doing, brother?
Blessed as usual, in a bro.
Excellent. And let's kick it off, you know, as all of us as brothers in arms, except Natu need him gym membership still, Richie. Maybe you can help him out. But Richie.
Yeah man, definitely.
Tell me, so how did you get started in the fitness thing now?
Well, I guess I never really get bored of telling this story. Alright, so I grew up in Kingston. So one evening I was playing basketball with my friends, and this guy was passing by, and he saw my physique. So after the games, he asked me if I work out, and I'm like, no, never been into the gym before. And then he asked me if I played rugby, and I said, boy, I've never played that game either. So about a week or two after, he came back and took me to a gym in Kingston at the time, it named Sweatshop. They used to be in New Kingston. So that's how I got started in fitness. Somebody just seen my natural physique and took me to the gym, and I fell in love with it from then, and I've been doing fitness since then.
Okay. How old were you at that time?
28. So I actually started in fitness quite late.
Because usually, I started... When did I start? I think I started like 25, 26, you know? And even when I started at that age, people were like, you know, it's too late, there's no hope. I can't even begin to tell you the amount of negative things I heard when I started. Is there a cutoff point when you can start?
No, I don't think so. I think once you're able to move around, even if you have joint issues, because a lot of people tend to say, boy, them now go to the gym, or they're not going to get into fitness because them have joint issues and them have other chronic illnesses. Mm-hmm. But there's no cutoff age. As long as you can move, mm-hmm, you can start a gym.
So when you got into, you know, the whole working out, because I play basketball as well, but, you know, obviously nobody ever approached me about my physique. But when you got into it, what was the most difficult part of it for you, starting the journey? And do you find that your physique being naturally how it was, do you find that made things easier for you?
All right, so let me answer the second part of the question. Yes, it was, because growing up in the country, and this is the first half of my life, because I never leave the country until I was about 15 years old, and then I went to Kingston to live with my dad. So I acquired a natural physique in the country just from being on the farm with my mother, taking water from the river to go and water the plants or stuff like that. So, and I was always athletic during school, so yes, it wasn't hard for me to make that transition. But when I just started, oh my god, bro, for 2 weeks I couldn't laugh. Can I tell you, my belly praying up. Let me explain to you what I mean by praying up. You know, when you work out and you feel sore,
yes, 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 mm-hmm, yes.
My abdomen was sore for 2 entire weeks. I couldn't laugh. No, seriously. And because my friends knew that I was in pain from those muscle soreness, them try to give me a joke. Nice. So, you know, say, me can't laugh. I have to bite the laugh. So the hardest part of it was to understanding the soreness of the muscle when mm-hmm. it's atrophy, meaning you're not using it, and then you start to use it, it gets sore.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So that was the hardest part for me.
But once you got over that part, though, it became smooth sailing in a sense.
Well, man, I'm gonna say smooth sailing because after you gotten to understand how the muscle work, remember now you learn different exercise to work different body part, and then you're gonna experience those same kind of muscle soreness throughout mm-hmm. your body
yeah.
as you do these exercises, and the more intense the exercise get. You keep feeling that soreness. Yeah. It took me like about 2 or 3 years before my body stopped soaring. Like, it took me a very long time before I can work out and dying to feel a little muscle soreness.
I can definitely relate to you because I remember when I started. I think I started somewhere around the same age as Steph. I think me and Steph started somewhere around the same time.
We start same year, man.
And yeah, trust man. Me. Yeah, same here. I can tell you, I remember there are days I went into the gym and when I go home, I can't even put on my hand. You understand? Like, I'm completely sore. Even washing my back, there was a point where my back couldn't wash properly. Listen. Because my hand can't reach all this. So, I'd have to buy the little stick something on the brush.
I still have yeah. my back brush, bro. Like, it's serious, yeah. man. Worse when your back start flare out and them thing.
Yeah. Yeah, if I have the curse. But I'm going to say, all right. I remember when I personally met Richard. Like, Richard came into the gym, and I think it was the same day. We were working out, mm-hmm. Steph. And this brother come in the gym, and I say, yo, how would it? And guys, no homo. When this man walking at the gym, I said,
man look like a superhero, dog.
The man look like a modern day superhero. What we grew up and look and watch cartoon. And we say, like every man in that gym, no homo, stop and look for the man. And you know, Richie, I'm not like Richie walk with a certain level of confidence in that gym. All the woman them turn around and look for him and we're like, yo, who the little alpha
yo,
man?
Yo, me not think he can help it, man. The man just dick. Push up, man. Me not think, yo, man. Me not think he can help it.
But it didn't get to the, it didn't get that bad. You remember when the man took off his shirt? That was when me say, all right, whatever this man I do, me need to learn from. Yeah. So that was, I think, when me approach him and tell him, sorry, Richard, you need to train. But, based off his physique, as in, can ask him more. He's been also on the athletic, on the professional stage. So tell us a little about that. What led you into that? Was it a goal, or you just decided one day that you want to go on stage and model or whatever? Because you know, most men don't want to wear them brief thing.
For real.
Because straight up, me not put on brief up on the stage and pose.
It takes a great level of confidence to do that, man. Yeah, but you have to tell me that. Man.
It takes a great level of confidence. Yeah. But we can tell some up till this day, you can't get rims in a one brief hook up on the stage. You can't ask him to do that.
Never. All
right, so pretty stone. Listen to this. Before I got into fitness, I used to do some modeling. I used to model for a small model agency in Kingston called Fragrant Model Agency at the time.
So like your go-go, sir, Richard?
But do look like that too. Yeah, man, when I got to the like, couple females approached me and asked me to come do bridal shows. And of course I went, I did it. Been a shape to talk. So prior to me going on stage, in trunks, I'm not gonna call it brief. It's called trunks. I had some stage experience, so I wasn't shy to go on stage without my shirt on.
But Richard, so it was easy. I think Rimsey and Kerm, they've asked some okay questions. But here's the thing I think the people really want to know.
Mm-hmm.
See? Because we all know why men go to the gym. We might hide it under the banner of we want to be healthy. But you know, so when you look like Superman, you get
a it's problem. A side effect. So, it's so, a so side let, effect, let, Natu. It's let, not always the primary listen, aid, let, but it's let, a welcome
I'm,
side
I'm,
effect.
I'm not trying to hear all that. We know the truth. This is a safe space, so we can be honest about this. So tell us about that side of it.
All right. Let me rephrase the question. If I ask you, how much woman do you get more?
No. We're not putting my thing out in the street, man. What I'm asking.
No, it's all right, man. Me not mind. Listen, more answer.
What?
Yes, there was. I didn't have to speak. My body spoke for me.
Whoa.
And even
I'm talking foolishness.
Talk this up. We're teeth that one day.
Right.
No, but brother, pre this. Listen to this. Remember, you know, I used to be a mother, so I learned how to walk. Mm-hmm. I learned how to walk sexy as a male. Listen, all right. Me, I walk with Rimsey and two other brethren, and them handsome, and the whole of muscular, and look good. What? But I tell you, you see my walk, when the female them see my walk, and me them I look pan, straight up, for real.
Yeah.
Come walk like me a model. And it's the truth.
You know, even
just naturally walking around, walk like me a model.
But like, Richie, even in this conversation thus far, we have broken so many stereotypes about masculinity. To the one to be mm-hmm. able to say that, listen, we admire another man's physique in a non-sexual way, to say mm-hmm. that, you know, you can call mm-hmm. a brethren handsome, to talk about these things. And I think that's one of the biggest hurdles for a lot of men, mm-hmm. quote unquote, the masculine men, or who want to call themselves, who mask their masculinity or mask their insecurity in masculinity. It's a very profound discussion that we're having, you know, because a lot of misconceptions that we go. I've had discussions with a man, said, no, I go on the gym because they don't want to see a man in tights. And I say, why is that your priority? Like, why is that the first thing coming to your mind? What's the real issue you have? And oftentimes the real issue is that you're afraid of failing. You're afraid of being compared and not being able to match up to our next person. I remember the first day mm-hmm. I went to the gym, you know,
mm-hmm.
First, I never forget the very first day I went to the gym. I was 133 pounds, and I went on the bench, and there was no weights on the bench on the bar, and I'm struggling to lift up the thing. And a man take the bar and he put it down, and he said, "Listen, go home, do a couple weeks of push-ups. When you can lift up the bar, then you can come back." And I most embarrassing thing I ever experienced, brother. But best believe, I went home and I mm-hmm. did push-ups every single day. Just to come back and at least be able to put on a little 10 pound on each side. You know, so like the ego, sometimes you have mm-hmm. to really kill the ego, especially when it comes to building up your body.
But I think I want to dive into that somewhere still. And Richie, you may be able to speak to this on a much deeper level. In terms of, you know, being in the gym and working out, do you find that your presence intimidates other men? Do you find that instead of, you know, coming to you, other men might be, you know, reluctant to even be in that space for the same reasons Steph mentioned, you know, for not being able to measure up in a sense? Have you experienced that kind of thing?
All right. No, I haven't. And I'm going to tell you why. Being a personal trainer, you have to be a people person. Right? And I'm not the kind of trainer who repels people. I attract people. Okay. So I'm always smiling and interacting with everyone in the gym. So persons find themselves comfortable to come to me and ask me, what can I do? Or how can I do this? Or without even anybody asking me, if I see somebody doing something incorrectly in the gym, best know that I'm gonna correct them, but not to embarrass them doing it, because there are ways and there are ways to do things.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I can co-sign that. I can attest to that because I remember when you just came to the gym at the time, and I would approach and say, "How you do that? How you do that? How you do that?" There was no resistance. I didn't get the feeling that, you know, this is a cocky brother and you can't talk to him or anything like that. But Steph touched on something about breaking down the man and the ego, and I just want to touch on another part about it, because I know particularly for me and other persons, the gym is like a place to clear my mind, meditate, get away, and, you know, get my thoughts all in one place and recalibrate and come back. Not only that, seeing your body change daily and working towards a specific goal day after day, week after week, you know, it's not easy, especially when the results aren't coming as quickly as you want. Yeah. Some results take like a year. So it also trains you in different aspects of your life. It teaches you patience, dedication. Mm-hmm. It's a different level of motivation that you get. Sure. And I think it's something that every man needs to experience, that level of discipline to even how you eat. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. right now, Richie is training me, and Richie can tell you, I have to eat, what, over 3,000 calories a day. And that's one of the hardest things I've ever done, because I'm literally falling asleep around food. You understand? Mm-hmm. Just to gain like what, 10 pound, whatever. However, I know what I want to achieve and how I want to look.
I'd like to just hop in there, because Rimzy, you mentioned motivation. But then I also want to talk about motive. Because, you know, when I used to go to the gym, like, everything for me was about basketball. Because the point when, you know, I had like a scholarship on the team. And so for me, it was about doing anything I could to become a better basketball player. And I feel like I had a particular match where I literally broke my ankle in the match scene. And everything kind of just went down the drain. And because my motive was strictly about basketball, everything, and it was a crushing thing for me. Because for me, like, basketball was pretty much like everything. You know, I used to religiously, like, I worked out to the point, like, for basketball, that I ended up, like, having to be admitted in the hospital. Like, that's how dedicated I was, you know, and how in love I was with it. But I realized that my fitness aspirations weren't necessarily for
physical. It was just a
basketball. Physical. It was just like, all right, then if you do this, you will become a better athlete. That's and then smart. Once mm-hmm. right, and then once that kinda got taken away, because obviously I was no longer fit to play, and then, you know, I had to be sidelined for a while. So the motive and everything just went with that. So I wanted to speak to that for a bit, like, what is your motivation when you work, you know, like, what's that one thing you hold to that even when other things get taken away? Yeah, man, you can, and both Stefan and Rindy can speak to it. But what's that one thing you hold
for me to? For me personally, when I started the gym, well, as Maga, as we call it, as Maga, and I just wanted to be strong. Growing up through high school, you know, girls used to talk about chicken chest and all of them something. So them something kind of used to annoy me. Plus, I just always wanted to be strong. So, you know, after, it was sometime in university, I think I bought 2 dumbbells and I would curl them, and then I would see my arms start getting big. And I was like, all right, I can actually do this. But my motive at that point was just to, at the time, was just to get a bigger chest and a bigger arm. Some big chest, some big arm, and some shoulder. Because one, I knew it would attract more females. And I'll be completely honest with you. I knew that more females would have been attracted to me just because of broader shoulders or a six-pack and a chest. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Women would be attracted to me solely because of my face. And I was like, all right, cool. I want something else. To be like a complete package, if you want to put it that way. So that was my motive. However, while being in the gym, it completely changed from primarily being just a woman based to when to being personal. Like I'd actually look at myself in the mirror and say, all right, no, I want to get this defined and all that. Okay, so it shifted.
So your motive became about you.
Exactly.
You wanted to look a particular way.
Yeah, so it did. It wasn't determined. It wasn't solely determined by women at that point. It was strictly me.
Okay.
So, and then when I realized what it did for me mentally and physically, it became a positive drug.
Yeah.
It became a positive addiction. You understand? Mm-hmm. So it was my place to go and relief, and it was also my place to go and experience other masculine energy. That's where I met Steph. That's where I met some other solid individuals who me and them today are tight mentors and everything like that. So yeah, it was just a place where bonding took place. And I mean, me not go hide, you have some exquisite woman that passed through the gym too. I mean, is that bad?
Has to be said.
We have to be straight. You have some women that when them pass by, you have to say, wow. So I mean, that was also, it was also there.
All right, for me, my motive initially is just somebody seeing something within me that I didn't see in myself, because honestly, I never thought at the age that I went into the gym that I would be in the gym. But somebody saw a talent in me, took me there, and I just excelled from there. But as Rims is saying, your motive for going in the gym at some point in time will shift to something else and become more personal. You know what I'm saying? So even though somebody saw something in me and took me there, when me start to see my body change, it started to become more personal. So even though I became a competitive bodybuilder, it just wasn't for bodybuilding, especially as I get older.
I see.
You know what I'm saying? So I guess I could say I had multiple motives up to this very day as to the reason why I became a fitness guru. You know? Yeah.
When I started, well, I was into athletics, but long distance, 1,500, 5,000. So I always had a slim, slender physique, right? And then, I'm not kidding, I just woke up one January morning and I said, listen, I am going to start the gym, right? But when I started, as I said, that experience, when a guy take anything and tell me, go and go do some push-ups, plus someone at my job seeing me going to the gym and telling me that it not gonna work for me, that became my motivation, proving people wrong. Right.
Wow.
And then within a month I had put on 5 pounds, and within a year I'd put on 60 pounds, and it was incremental to the point where I was like, all right, I'm 133, I put on 5 pounds, I'm 130, I'm 138 now. Let me see how far I could do this. And then it became 145. And then I said, if I could go 145, then I could reach 160, right? And so on and so forth. And so it was really about how far I could push my body. But the fascinating thing is, you know, Rimsey says about getting girls, because, I mean, I had a lot of women even before that. And after that, I would never forget. We have to be real. After that, I'll never forget the owner of the gym at the time. Dougie said, listen, best believe when you start swell up, the attention you get from woman I go annoy you. And me I said, no man, that not gonna ever happen, man. Me I go want it. Till one day I went to the grocery and me hear this commotion behind me, and it's a woman I hold back her friend from running like the woman I grab her for me, and me I said, no man, this can't real. And when we go beach, I'm the last person to take off my shirt. And the man then with the big gut, they were hangover, glad for walk around with them shirt. But me well look 10 times better than the man them feeling away, because you just don't want the attention. So it became personal in a different kind of way, right? But you're absolutely right. At the end of the day, it comes down to you. Right. Everything else is a side effect.
Steph, all right, let me tell you something. It wasn't until I've been working out over 5 years now, and it wasn't until about 3 months ago I've posted a shirtless photo. I don't go to the beach.
Yeah.
I don't take off my shirt. If you're not intimate with me, you're not seeing me outside of my clothes. So only women that have been intimate with me, I'm not one of them man who go beach and pull off their shirt. Like, I've not been that comfortable. I wouldn't say comfortable, but it just feels weird.
But there is also, like, listening to some of the points, I want to touch on you know, what you guys have found to be, you know, the thing that separates you from other men. That, like, you know, you work out and then you see other men who want to do it. But ultimately, what do you think is the line of distinction between, you know, you guys who do it and commit to it versus others who, for whatever reason, because some men, like, I remember seeing this post of a guy who wanted to lose weight, but he was so self-conscious about it that one of his best friends decided, in order to help him, the friend would dress as a clown and go with him to the gym so that people would stop looking at his friend working out and focus all their attention on the guy dressed as a clown. So there are some men who have that, because I remember, like, when I just started going to the gym and started working out, and I started, like, I need to be quicker, I need to be faster and obviously stronger. Like, there were some men and then I was being told that, all right, then you need muscle tone, to just do more reps and lighter weights and just keep it up, like, and all of that, you know, build endurance and all of that for something. And what I realized is that men who would see you in there and you're pushing that lighter weight is almost like an unspoken competition. So some men may not necessarily be as open to that. So what do you guys find to be that thing that separates you from you know, from those men?
All right. you mentioned one of the words, and Rimzy said something. I don't think you guys hear what he said, but he said, what did you say?
Commitment, dedication.
Commitment and dedication. But my thing is this, you know, what will set any man apart who goes to the gym or decides to go to the gym is that confidence way you have within yourself. Because the gym is a public place, you know, and if you're going to be intimidated by people who is already there, you know what I mean, perhaps that's not the place that you need to go to start your fitness lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to go there and see people fitter than you. And you're going to go people who weigh less fitter than yourself. You know what I'm saying? I think the gym is a place where you go to be motivated. You go into that environment and you're motivated by what you see. And that should pump you up to embark on your fitness lifestyle, whether you want to get a bigger chest or a bigger arm, or you just want to improve on your overall fitness. So what I think separates us who have been consistent over the years in working out is dedication. You know what I mean? And whatever motivates us to keep going to the gym, because you have to have something that motivates you, you know?
Right.
You have to have something that motivates you, because you have people who go to the gym not because they want to, but they are motivated by something, or they have something that motivates them to go to the gym. It could be that the doctor tell them, listen, if you don't start working out or get on a fitness regime, you only have 6 months left to live. You know?
Yeah.
One more thing is, I always believe in goals, so you have to have a goal. And I had a goal, and of course the goal changed, but at the end of the day I had something that I was working forward to. In the gym you can't really watch people. That's the next thing. You have to leave your ego at the door. If you go in the gym with your ego, you're gonna end up outside the gym or in the hospital, or you're going to be humbled very quickly. Very, 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 very quickly. And another thing is, you might not, everybody feel that somebody's watching them, but best believe nobody not watching them. Nobody, everybody are focused, Spencer. So if you go into the gym feeling like somebody is there, like you're the center of attention, no, you're only the center of attention when you're doing foolishness. So if you're going to the gym, everybody know that you have to start somewhere, and it's a gradual process. So as I say, what sets us apart is the level of commitment, the level of dedication, and just having a solid mind and a solid goal to whatever you want to achieve. Now, everybody's goal might be different. Somebody might start the gym because they love bodybuilding. Somebody else might start the gym because they want to look different physically. Somebody else might start the gym because of health reasons and they need to up their what you call it?
Cardiovascular.
Them heartbeat and all of them something. Cardiovascular, yeah. So, I mean, they're just different reasons. So, once you have a goal, and you stick to it, and that's why I said that's why I love the gym, and I can link the gym to so many aspects of my life, because I'm gonna be complete honest with you. When I started working out, I was not as focused, and I was not as driven and committed and dedicated to this to stuff that I was doing until I started working out. I mean, when you go to the gym and you literally break your muscles. You're damaging your muscles and rebuilding them. You're putting pain and putting your body and your joints under severe stress. It's nothing to go out there and handle people or to do a project after that. It give you a different level of focus. That's the word. It give you a different level of focus. So I think that's really what sets
what we've been talking about. People see the end, or people see the physique, and they don't necessarily see the struggle. And sometimes it also requires there's a commitment and a dedication, but sometimes it also requires someone else holding you accountable. When me and Rimzy and Putin used to work out on the morning, Rimzy can tell you, Rimzy is a man who hate to wake up early in the morning. And we used to have to call him for wake up. And best believe, if we not call him, him not wake up. And that's a reality. And for me, this is the interesting thing. It gave me a sense of responsibility, knowing that helping somebody else meet their goal was something. So that was my accountability, because I best believe when I didn't have anybody to call, me used to just curl up and go back to sleep. Like, sometimes as men, we need to feel or we need to have some responsibility, right? And working out, I don't necessarily feel like I had that intrinsic motivation, but it became a habit. You see, just like when you wake up and you brush your teeth in the morning, you don't have any positive feeling for or against it. That's how working out felt to me at one point. It's something that had to be a part of my day. Everybody, different strokes for different folks. But yes, you have to know your goal, right? You have to know that this thing, I don't think this thing gets any easier. You just get used to it. It becomes part of your lifestyle. What do you say? It takes 21 days to form a habit. Just try to stick to that. I think people don't realize fitness starts in the mind. It's not the body. The body is just a manifestation of it. So I don't want people to get lost, because we've been saying it for the entire episode that the motivation and all of these things, we haven't even gotten to the muscles yet. We haven't even spoken about our routine yet, you know? But it starts with that mind. It starts with the intention. It starts with the goal, all of these things, even before you lift your first weight. Right. So I wanted, Richie, I just wanted, if as a trainer, and you definitely have to give us your contact information so people can get in touch with you, because everybody needs to start this very moment to improve their life.
Yeah, man, indeed.
What's a typical workout routine for the person listening to this that they can just start, that they can start their journey?
All right. I just say it have to start in the mind. All right. You have to first have that mindset that, listen, I'm going to embark on a fitness lifestyle, right? And then there's this big question sign, what is the first step I'm going to take? Now, I would recommend to anyone that get up out of your bed. Whether it's in the morning or in the evening, get up and go do some cardiovascular workout. Cardiovascular workout includes walking, running, swimming, if you have a pool, or if you can find yourself at the beach, you go to the beach, you know what I'm saying? Or if you don't have none of that, or you don't want to do that, stay in the comfort of your house and jog on the spot. Do jumping jacks, you know what I'm saying? Get a chair, sit down on a chair and stand up. So you can use your own body weight to start your fitness program. You know what I mean? You don't have to. All right, so let's say you're someone who wants to go to the gym to start your program. Hire yourself a personal trainer and allow that trainer to guide you into the in how to make the first step, the second step, the third step. You know what I'm saying? That's my primary advice to anyone who wants to embark on a fitness lifestyle.
So you, Richie, you mentioned hiring. I think a lot of people, you know, might be deterred from that because I've seen people come into the gym who are, you clearly see that they need some professional help. But there is a perception that personal trainers are incredibly expensive. So can you speak to that?
Yes, I can. All right. Now, the gym that I am presently at, if you come to the gym and you cannot afford a personal trainer, we have a floor instructor that can guide you for the first 2 to 3 weeks of your monthly membership. What this will do is orientate you to as to how to use the machine, the cardiovascular machines, and the machines on the floor. You know what I'm saying? Or if you have any questions as to how to do a particular exercise or how to work up a particular muscle group, that instructor is there to advise you how to use the machines and how to get those muscle group working. After that though, because not everybody have a personal trainer, that one trainer who's on the floor will not be able to assist you all the time. So for persons who cannot afford a personal trainer, that is what will happen if you should enroll in the gym that I'm presently at.
Okay. And my follow-up question to that is, what is, in your estimation, the primary benefit of having a personal trainer? Some people feel that they can just come and they can work out, but what's that major selling point of a personal trainer for you?
Well, the major selling point as a personal trainer to me and for me is you walking away with a certain level of knowledge about your body, right? And how to safely train yourself or work out without acquiring or attaining any injuries over time. You know what I'm saying? Because when you learn how to execute certain exercises, you are now armed with enough information as to how to go about, you know what I mean, certain workout regimes. You know what I'm saying? So for me, that's my major selling point. Yeah, but yeah, Richard Scotchman is my, once you go on IGN pumping Richard Scotchman, you'll see them.
So Richard,
yeah.
One more thing, because I don't want we have a wide listening base, audience base. We have a lot of women who listen as well. Now I know there's always been some, you know, controversy regarding personal trainers and women in the gym. A lot of women, they don't like to have personal trainers because, you know, sometimes it can lead to other things,
horror stories,
harassment and stuff like that. You understand?
Yeah.
And I mean, our story, there's some workouts where, I mean, we know, we're being straight, we're being candid. There's some workout that exposes a woman certain way, certain stretching and all of that. How do you keep it professional in that setting, even stretching a young lady or assisting a young woman while she's squatting or anything like that? Because this is an issue that is it's out there.
Well, me personally, over the years, I've maintained my level of professionality by first showing my clients how to stretch themselves, right? So I show my clients how to stretch themselves, and if they need a deeper stretch, then I'll tell them that if you need a deeper stretch, you can ask me to do that. Now, as I said, there are some stretches and some positions that you may put a female into that exposes them in a certain way. Being cognizant of that fact, I don't do certain stretches with my female clients. I don't. Some instructors, they do it, but personally, I don't, because I have to maintain that level of professionality. I won't say certain things to my clients. It's called fraternizing. I don't fraternize with my clients or any females in the gym for that matter.
One more thing you mentioned is that you are, and I think it's key, you're a natural bodybuilder. A lot of persons also are reluctant to come into the gym because they feel like they'll need to take a bunch of pills, a lot of protein shit. There's always some negative connotation attached to like supplementing your physique.
Once you work out in the gym, you're not a typical man. You're not a man who just walk around on the streets. You go in the gym and you wear and tear your muscles and your joints. So you have to supplement the foods that would give you certain minerals and vitamins that your body need to recover and to build or to grow. You know what I'm saying? So some of the supplements that I recommend are natural. And when I say natural, people, let me explain to you. No anabolic steroids, no growth hormone, no testosterone, none of that. So when I say natural, I'm talking about amino acids, your protein powder, your omega-3s, you know what I'm saying? Those are the kind of supplements that I recommend to my clients, whether you're a male or a female. And Rimzy can tell you, because I give all my clients, whether you're a male or female, a list of supplements that I think you should get that will aid your body in functioning at a 100% level. You know what I'm saying? Because you want to take care of your joints. You know what I mean? That's important. You want to take care of your muscles. So if you need, okay, listen to this. If you need, let's say, 50 grams of protein per body weight, if you should add that up for the day, how much grams of protein that you should take in, you probably can't eat enough meat. I'm talking about fish, chicken, or beef, or whichever meat source that you choose to get your protein from. You probably cannot eat enough of that meat to get the requisite amount of grams of protein that you need per body weight. Therefore, you need to supplement. You know what I'm saying? So it's totally okay for you to supplement like your protein shake or your protein powder, your amino acids, stuff like that. Yeah, so that's what I mean by natural bodybuilding or working out naturally. Now, and this one is going out to males in particular. One of the primary benefits of embarking on a fitness journey, listen to this, it slows your aging process, it boosts your testosterone. You know what I mean? That alone within itself should encourage males on a whole, regardless of your age, especially if you're getting older, to do weight training or to get into the gym. You know what I'm saying? And nothing boosts a man confident than when him a workout and a female look at him and say, yo, are you working out? I like your arms, I like your legs. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man. This one goes out to all the males. Get in the gym, get on a fitness regime, change your life.
Richie, give thanks, respect, and look forward.
Yeah, man.
Right now, I feel hype. I feel like I'm going to do some push-ups right now just to finish off the episode. So, brethren, bro, Richie, give thanks, people. Blessings.
Definitely.
All right, bro.
Legendary.